I tell you what, to teach a class or to preach on parenting is the most humbling thing you can do in the world. Absolutely. Because as I'm preaching on parenting, now there's only one child here, my wife. As I'm preaching on parenting, you know that looking down just two rows in front of me, right in front of me, are two people that know I have failed and know the length and the depth of my failures, right? And so when I'm preaching this, please don't misunderstand me as that I think I'm perfect or I did a better job than you. That is not the case at all. I realize I fail. And I realize every person out here that has ever been a parent or will be a parent, you will fail too. And realizing that is part of the battle. It is part of the battle. Because if you realize you are going to fail, you have failed, there is salvation for that. If you think you have it, you won't. There is no salvation for that. There's no salvation for people that aren't sick. Only for people that are sick. Only for sinners. So we're in that boat, and understand I'm not trying to come across that I know everything, but this is something I believe, and I want you to understand this. I don't believe that I have to be a parent to teach you biblical parenting. I don't believe that at all. I don't believe that I have to be an athlete to teach athletes about Christ. I don't think I have to have gone through a situation to teach you what the Bible has or what the Bible says. Although I have gone through it, that doesn't make me better. Doesn't make me better. The only thing that makes me better is understanding God's word and understanding how it applies to our lives, being, you know, just walking in obedience on a daily basis. If I understand God's word and if I walk in obedience on a daily basis, then I can teach you any subject, even though I've lived it or haven't lived it. So the fact that I'm a parent doesn't make me a better at this job at all. All that's going to help us is God's word and hopefully understanding how that applies. So hopefully we're on the same page. Well, as I finish up this series, and I want to deal with what it means to train your kids, so parenting from a training perspective, I want to look at or introduce it from a couple different perspectives, starting off with my perspective or what we did with our kids, good and bad, and then what we've seen as well. Just a couple introductory things. When Tamara and I first had Troy, I was fresh out of seminary. We were gung-ho about kids. And to tell the truth, I was probably more on truth than I was the love side. Does that make sense? I would push down truth on the sacrifice of loving him and encouraging him. And I sacrificed that a little bit with Troy. Now, as we grew with the kids, Amanda, then Ryan, I don't want to say that I learned a better balance, because that probably is not true. I want to say that we got tired because we had three kids and we laxed up some of the rules. Now, that's exactly what happened. The rules we were probably a little bit too tough on with Troy, probably a little bit too lax on with Amanda, maybe, or with Ryan. Maybe Amanda was right in the middle. I have no idea. But I just know that that was our experience, and maybe you experienced something similar. But it's hard. It's hard to know where that balance is with parenting to, you know, far as love and the rules, speaking the truth in love. But I want to let you know of a few other experiences I've seen just to set the stage. I've also seen other people that have said, look, I am not going to be hard on my kid because my parents were hard on me and they tried to push the Bible down my throat and that drove me away. So I only hated my parents more and I hated God more. So I'm not going to do that. So this person says, look, we're not going to we're just going to be their friend and we're going to let them kind of, you know, develop as they're going to develop. And guess what? Your child is a fool. That's what the Bible talks about children. They're fools. They worship two things. Every person does. They worship two things: self self-love and self-authority. That's what they worship. And so if you let them do their own thing, that's what they'll become. 99.999% of the time, maybe somebody will step in, like the military, and they will shape some of that for you. But nonetheless, your kid is going to turn out that way if you don't shape him. That's just the way it is. And then I've seen on the other side, people that were heavy-handed. And a friend of mine who has changed his position, but he told me that children are a product, 100% a product of their environment. And this guy had lists of degrees and doctorates, and very intelligent man. He raised two children. When his second child was about six, he let me know I was wrong. Children are not just a product of their environment. They have other things going on inside them. So you cannot mold and make a child become who you think they want to be, because they have their own ideas. They're going to push, they're going to shove. There is other things going on behind that. So really, parenting is not just something we can force kids into. It's something we have to love them, we have to encourage them, and ultimately, it's what God does in the process. Well, I want to teach three things this morning about training your kids. Number one, the attitude of the parent. I know I keep going back to the parent, and you might say, well, when are we going to get to the kids? I said, I don't know that we really even need to get to the kids. I think it's really more about us as a parent, believe, in my honest opinion. But we're going to talk about the attitude of the parent. Then we're going to talk about two things with regard to training and disciplining them. And I'll introduce this to you because you're going to probably have to take a second to digest it. I'm going to introduce to you that your child is ignorant. Your child is ignorant. In that we should, I know, thank you, Greg's laughing at me going, man, you're in trouble now. Here comes the phone calls. Yes, and let me, I'll explain that later. Your child is ignorant, so when we discipline them, we have to make sure we're not disciplining their ignorance. We have to train their ignorance, and yet at the same time, they're rebellious. So we have to discipline rebellion and train ignorance. So hopefully, I got you paying attention. Hopefully you want to hear what I have to say there before you start throwing tomatoes. Greg, if they start throwing tomatoes, do you got me? Yeah, Greg's gone. Okay. All right, first one we're going to look at is a discipline, discipline with an attitude of love. Discipline with an attitude of love. Now, and I've used this scenario a little bit, but I think we can all relate to it. Okay, our kids have a tendency to pull our strings, don't they? And have you ever wondered if maybe that I'm allowing my kids to get under my skin and I maybe don't have the proper attitude about discipline? Have you ever wondered that? Glad if you have, because listen to this. This scenario, just think about this. Let's say you're on the couch and you have a two-story house. Your kids are up in the bed. That's where ours were. They're up in bed, and you have been talking to them all day long, right? Either mom or dad or however it works. And you've been dealing with, you know, obedience. You've been dealing with loving your brother or sister and all this stuff, and you're a little tired, right? Never get that way. A little bit tired. So you send them to bed, you say, okay, you know, you pray with them, you have a great time with them, you know, we're all in agreement, they know what the rules are, they know that they're to stay in bed, they know there's no talking, there's no getting out of bed, getting toys, anything like that. They know that. We're 100% on the same page, right? And you agree, right? Uh-huh. Will you do, right? You know, that's what happens. So you go, oh, finally. So you go laying on the couch, you're tired, you know, you want a little rest, you're on the couch, you're either, you know, popping through the TV, you're looking at the newspaper, reading a book, something, you're relaxing, and then what do you hear? You know, the kids, right? They're talking. you know, they're in the back, they're talking a little bit, and then all of a sudden you hear it's the second floor now. Here, right? The little feet, you know, going back. They don't know you can hear them, but then you can hear a little as they're going to their toy chest, getting their favorite toy, bringing it to bed. So you inside, because I know every one of you are godly, you inside have this righteous indignation, right? And you're saying that, you know, I need to do what is right for you. Because if I don't do what is right for you, this is going to destroy your life. This has nothing to do with the fact that my blood pressure is going through the roof. Right? If it was righteous indignation, that would be great. Is it usually righteous indignation? Probably not. And we're sitting there and we're thinking, we're getting mad because we're thinking, I'm going to have to get out of my chair. And we're, right? Come on. That's exactly the, I was comfortable, and I've got to go up the stairs. And I've already told them. We've already had this conversation. And you're going, you know, this isn't my fault. I've already told you, you don't understand rules. You don't respect me. And all these things start going through your head. And they're all about conforming them to Christ's godliness, right? All about us. We're angry. We're mad that they disturbed our rest, disturbed our peace. They didn't obey our authority. They didn't follow our rules. Maybe a little bit of embarrassment to us. So we go flying up the stairs thinking that I am going to shape them into Christ's image, right? No, we're going to shape them, but, you know, it's not into Christ's image. And so there we go, and we say things that we just, you know, that we regret. And we do this because it becomes about us. Not about molding them, not about shaping them, but about what happened to us. And that's the hardest hurdle of parenting, is not allowing it to become about us. The greatest advice I've ever received, Tamara and I received, was to wait 5 minutes before you discipline your children. Well, what goes on in 5 minutes? A lot of great things. Your blood pressure goes down for the first time, and you're able to see, you're able to realize you were making it about yourself, and you can change your attitude a little bit. That was really some great advice. But the best thing I can tell you is when you're running up the stairs and your blood pressure is going, your face is glowing. Oh, that was a poet and didn't know it. We need to, number one, we need to make it about loving the child. We need to make it about loving the child. Look, it's easy to make it about us. It's easy to make it about how we feel. In what, you know, this made me feel. It's easy to do that. That comes natural. I mean, that's something that I don't even have to think about. I just open my mouth and that comes out, right? But making it about them, making it about their relationship with the Lord, that is something that is far different and far better for them to do. Look, if I try to just tell them how to behave, if I try to just tell them how to act, I'm not doing hardly any good for them at all, because mainly I'm just trying to make my life easier. But if I, out of love, try to do something a little different, we can possibly shape their heart. So when we're going up those stairs, what we need to be thinking about is loving them, not our anger. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 4 through 7 is a great verse we can go through for love. And so when you're walking up the stairs, you can be thinking about this. Love is patient. As I'm walking up the stairs 1,000 miles an hour, so you slow down. And you realize that, look, I need to be patient. I need to realize, as we're going to talk about here in a minute, that my kids, if it was either ignorance or rebellion. Now, this was rebellion, but it could have been ignorance. So I need to be patient. And then I need to be kind. I mean, that was full-on rebellion, absolutely. But they don't need my anger to help them. My anger is not going to help them follow Christ at all. My anger is not going to shape their heart. A kind word confronting their rebellion is going to have far more effect. It's not jealous. It's not bragging. It's not arrogant. As you're going up the stairs, you realize, look, I might not know all the answers. How many of us have parents have assumed we know all the answers and then realize that we don't? We're not arrogant. Don't act unbecomingly. I've never done that. Now, unbecomingly means that you open your mouth when your blood pressure is high. Wait for your blood pressure to raise and go down. Then you can open your mouth. That's because 9 times out of 10, it's going to be unbecoming. And then love doesn't seek its own. You know, it's different. You're on the couch, you're sitting there, and I'm just disturbed by that they call me up there and or I have to go up there versus me going up there and explaining their rebellion, explaining the fact that their rebellion hurts God. Go through the fact that Christ had to come and die for their sin, and going through that. And I asked Amanda this morning. I said, what was the most effective thing we've ever done as parents? And I knew her answer because she's told me this before. Not that we've done things that were ineffective. That's true. But the things that you said were effective, she said, when you say that what I do hurts God and that you're disappointed in me. Those are the things that when they love you and they naturally will, those are the things, kind words, but yet truthful words. And it, you know, doesn't seek its own. It's not provoked easy. It doesn't take account of wrong. Now, that doesn't mean you don't remember what your kid's tendencies, but it means that if they've grown past those tendencies, you don't hold those tendencies against them. So you need to, look, if they have a tendency, you need to remember that so you can train them. But if they have grown past that tendency, they're grown past it, there's no reason. I mean, you shouldn't hold that against them. Not to rejoice in unrighteousness. None of us have ever said this, I told you so, right? Anybody ever, come on, you ever say that? I told you so. What is I told you so? It's rejoicing in unrighteousness, rejoicing when something goes bad. Don't rejoice, but rejoice in the truth, bear all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And instead of running up the stairs and telling the kids what we would like to tell them, and that's anger. We acknowledge that. Acknowledge that, confess that sin, and go up and share them love. I was probably going to tell this at another time, but I just want to make sure you understand something. If I were to get to parent over again, which Tamara tells me that's not happening, but if I were to get to parent over again, the one thing I would do different is every time I disciplined my kid, I would pray. Now you would say, you didn't pray? That's not my point. I would pray this. God, I realize I have a tendency to make discipline about myself. And I would pray that every time. I know I have a tendency to make discipline about myself. I'm mad, I'm upset, I'm embarrassed, I'm, you know, whatever it might be. Please expose my own selfishness and give me wisdom to how to train my child in godliness. I would do that. That's the one thing that I would for sure change. But also, understanding Ephesians 4:15. When we're going up and we're talking to our kid and we got them in front of us and we're trying to figure out what to say, how do we handle what comes out of our mouth? Ephesians 4:15 says, speak the what? Truth in love. Now, this is a word that's gotten misused too much. When we say the word love, people think about that word love from a perspective of non-discipline. Look, I'm going to either love my child or I'm going to discipline my child. That is not what love means. Love is discipline. But it means this passage. It means I can speak the truth all I want. I'm a truth teller. Don't raise your hands. I'm sure there's other people in the room that are truth tellers, right? I'm a truth teller. That's my nature. That is my sinful flesh. That is how I was raised. I speak the truth no matter who it offends, no matter what it destroys, I will speak the truth. That is my flesh. That is my natural tendency. Just the love part doesn't follow. And so when I speak the truth, I destroy people in the process because there's no love in there. So we have to make sure when we're talking to our kids, yes, we speak the truth, but we speak that truth in kindness. We speak that truth in patience. We speak that truth thinking about them, building them up. Is this going to build them up or is this just going to make me feel good? And then we understand that love means more than just being compassionate. Love means that we need to be honest. We need to be honest with your kids. You might say that, you know, I'm afraid. I'm afraid if I'm too honest with my kids, if I discipline them, you know, they're not going to love me. They're going to be angry with me. And I'm telling you, that's manipulation. Your kids will love you. And your discipline has nothing to do that with the way they love you. Let me tell you what makes the most to do with the way they love you is what happens after you discipline them. After you discipline them, if you don't spend time with them, if you don't love them in that way, if you're not enjoying them, if you don't forgive them, if you hold this stuff about against them, they will know that. In their love, they will become angry and bitter at you because you are angry and bitter at them. That will happen. But it really has nothing to do with your discipline. It has all to do with the way that you live. And then lastly, with that one, God's standards for parenting is above our ability to do that. And that is God's standard for everything, is above our ability to do that. That's the whole point of the law. The whole point of the law to Israel is to tell you, my standards are higher than you can do. You need a Savior. And not that you just need a Savior for one time to bring you to Christ, to save you from your sins. You need a Savior every day. Every day. Every day we need to be coming to Christ saying, I cannot do this on our own. I went many years in the ministry thinking that what God wanted from me was external obedience. And I didn't understand that what he wants from me is internal submission. He wants weakness. I thought I was doing that. I didn't understand how. He wants brokenness. He wants weakness. So when you try to become a godly parent and you can't and you fail, you know you are real close to where he wants you to be. You think it's better to say that, hey, I'm doing good, I'm a good parent, and I'm doing, that is actually, you're in the worse position than the person that's over here and saying, you know, here's what God wants me to be as a parent, and I can't be that. You're in a really good place. Say, I'm in a good place for failing? No. I'm saying your failures have brought you to a place that is really close to the cross. When you see your weaknesses, when you see your failures, all you have to now is just repent. Say, God, I am weak. I can't do it on my own. You never designed it for me to do it on my own. I need you in my life. So your failures, God can use to really make you a better parent and to make your kids stronger as well. Just to remind you that there is a book out there Paul Tripp. It's called Parenting 14 Perspectives of the Gospel or something like that. It's the only book I would read on, I would recommend on parenting. It tells you nothing about disciplining your children at all, but it tells you about how you should think from a biblical perspective as a parent. It's really good. It's really good stuff. There's another book out, Shepherding the Child's Heart by his brother, Ted Tripp, I think. And I don't know. It's okay. It's the best book out there, but I would recommend the other one. Just my opinion. Second point. Okay, so now we've figured out that look, this is about me. Parenting is about me. It's about me making sure my heart is right so that I can show them Christ. Look, I can't show my kids Christ if I'm not following Christ, right? And my ability to follow Christ is a day-by-day thing. We understand that, right? You say, well, I'm following Christ. Well, you might be, But you realize in certain times of your day, you are and you're not. You're walking in the flesh, walking in the spirit. So we need to realize that we need to, in order to train our kids, we have to be following God at that time. And that's part of training our kids. And that's really the good part of being a parent, is that your kids help you follow Christ. Why is that? Because you just can't do it without Him. Can't do it without Him. You need help. Well, going back to training your child's ignorance, and understand, I know it's offensive, but please, I think once you hear it, it'll make sense. So you have Johnny, let's say Johnny is 2 years old, and Johnny is an only child. He's 2 years old. Parents have been training him as much as they could. You know, they're godly parents. They're Christians. They're doing the best they can. He has a play date over at somebody's house. And it's really the first time he's around some other kid, and he has his favorite Power Ranger, right? You know, is that the cool toy today? What's a cool toy for a two-year-old? I don't know. And so he has that favorite car, that favorite truck, and that's his. He sleeps with that thing, right? And so he's over at, you know, Susie Q's house, and Susie Q's... What's that? Wow, Johnny just got in trouble. He's at Susie Q's. Johnny's at a play date at Susie Q's house, and so he's over there, and Susie Q gets Johnny's toy. And you know, it's bound to happen, right? And Johnny responds the dreaded response that we all fear as a parent. What is that? No! Mine! And it just sends, you know, chills through your spine, and you go, oh no, my kid did it. I mean, it's either that, or it's the laying out on the grocery store throwing a fit, right? Those are the two things. And so nonetheless, here he did. He screams it out, and you're going, no, my kid didn't do that, did he? And you're upset and you're angry because, you know, was there sin involved? Absolutely. Absolutely, there was sin. And so you're embarrassed, so you're mad, so you take Johnny home and you scold him. That was wrong, da da da. And Johnny's sitting there going, what happened? Why? Because he had no idea he was not supposed to do that. He hadn't learned that yet. Now, you might say, Pastor, you are ignorant. You think a child didn't know that? And I'm saying, yes, I believe a child didn't know that. I believe a child comes out. Not knowing right from wrong. I believe that. Now, do children have a conscience? Children do have a conscience, and that conscience is what God gave them, and we all have a conscience by God. Amen? But that conscience is marred by the fall. So because of sin in us, we kind of know what's right and wrong, but the reality is that kid came out knowing two things and two things only. That his self that self-love is what he wants to do, and self-authority is who he's gonna listen to. That's the only two things kids know. So Johnny was sitting there and he did not know yet. Possibly that he wasn't supposed to respond that way. He didn't understand to share. That needed to be something that he was taught. And so what I'm saying is that we need to be careful when our kids are being ignorant, that we don't discipline them like they're being rebellious. Rebellion and ignorance are really two different things. Secondly, we need to understand our kids really don't know. A two-year-old really doesn't understand right and wrong the way we know it. So we need to figure out how we're going to teach that. How are we going to teach our kid? And let's call that word character. How are we going to teach our kid character? Now, let me give you some background on character first. Now, before we get into that, understand that the secular parenting books don't talk about kids' character. What they talk about is kids' stages. He's going in this stage. He's going out of this stage. And so they excuse bad behavior because they call it a stage. Well, that's just a stage in his life. And let me let you know something about kids. And this is biblically true, is that their character is not going to change because they get older. It's not. Now, their character, they might understand that they can't act that way in public anymore. You know, as they get older, they can't act that way. Society's not going to let me act that way. So they curb their character. Not because their character changed, but just that they pushed some of that inside. The character is still the same. They're still just as selfish. They're still just as independent. Their loving self, their authority is just their self, but they understand that they just can't show it that way. So all that we do now as 50-year-olds is we're just a little bit more refined, but yet the character that we learned as a 4, 6, and 8-year-old is still there. So as we allow our kids to become a certain way, and they become who we let them be, that character is set. It's going to be harder to change when they get older. As a 2, 4, 6, 8-year-old, it's a lot easier to change them than it is as an older person. So how do we do that? Deuteronomy 6, chapter 4, gives us the best answer for how we're supposed to change and train our child. I love this passage. And if you think about this, you might have to think a little bit. You'll see the amazing aspect of this. Okay, now this is Moses through the inspiration of God speaking to Israel. And he says this, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one God." He says, look, there is one sovereign Yahweh that you are going to serve, and that's it. Creator God, covenant-keeping God. Number 5, you shall love that God, shall love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. He says, look, I'm not going to put up with you loving self, you loving, you know, some other worship, some other idol. I want you to love me. I'm God. I'm creator. You love me. And I want you to love me with all your heart. It says these words. How do you do that? These words which I have commanded to you today shall be on your heart. He says, how do you do this? By putting this on your heart. Like, obedience is not going to, righteousness is not going to happen overnight. It's a process, amen? It takes a long time. So it starts by putting God's word in your heart. And then he says, look at this. This is the interesting part of this section. Right after that, verse 7, and you shall teach them diligently to your sons, shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. What is he talking about? He says, the same way that you are discipled by your relationship with the Lord, you need to therefore go and disciple your kids in the same way. You don't need Dr. Spock. You don't need the best secular book on parenting. You need God's word. Amen? And you need to understand it, allow it to go through you and disciple you and change you. The best thing I could ever say about being a great parent is learning how to grow spiritually. It's the best thing. Because when you understand how to grow spiritually, then you understand what your child needs to grow spiritually. Wouldn't it be a great thing? Look, I taught my kids sports. Golf was the last one I taught them. And what's funny is everything I just learned, I would teach my kids that I just learned. So if it was baseball or golf, I just learned something new. So that's what my kids got taught in golf. Whether they did it right or did it wrong, that's what I taught them. Why? Because that's what I was learning. And it's the same way spiritually with your kids as God is teaching you something. Wouldn't that be incredible to be able to teach your kids that same thing? That's amazing, and that's what he's saying. Look, allow your parenting to be an outflow of your relationship with the Lord. As he's teaching you, then you go and teach them. It's how they're going to learn character. It's how they're going to learn truth. It's how they're going to learn all these things. Why? By seeing it in God. That's how we teach it. So we not just teach them character, But when you're training your children's ignorance, realize that worship is the purpose of your training. Now you will hear people say, look, you need to break your child's will. And spanking and stuff. I don't think that's a great way to say it at all, nor even a great thought. You need to break their worship. That is exactly what you need to do. The way you're training and teaching your child is you need to teach them and help them see that, look, they come out, they're a worshiper of themselves. They have self-authority and self-love, and that is who they are. And you want to train them to help them see that they need to love others and submit themselves to God's authority. It is a beautiful thing for them to see that, look, they are to submit to God and then submit to us because we are under God's authority. And that's a beautiful thing. And I say this a lot. Why does the military have such a great effect on kids or boys that are rebellious? Because they teach them to respect authority and to respect people. And this is what God is telling us to do. And being a friend is not going to help that. You need to train them, to teach them to love God and to listen to His authority. 1 John 5:3 says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome." I don't know how you can raise kids without Christ. I really don't. I have no idea how that works. Somebody comes up to me and says, hey, we're secular people. Can you help us raise our kids? I have no idea what that would look like. I'm clueless. I need Christ. I need Christ for everything. Christ is the solution, the fix for everything. Look, the reason I obey God's word is not because I'm afraid or not. See, it's because I'm growing in my love for God. And that's what we want for our kids as well. And just so we're all on the same page, you say, Pastor, what about Proverbs 22:6? Train up a child in the way they should go, and even when they're old, they shall not depart from it. What that is talking about is character. Can a child that's raised up in a good home leave and be rebellious and turn away from Christ? You understand the statistics of children being raised in a Christian home, going to church all their lives, and leaving right after they leave is 60 to 80%. 60 to 80%, depending on which side of that equation you're looking at, 60 to 80% of the kids that grow up in Christian homes, they leave. Why is that? Their parents didn't train them. I don't think that's the way it is. I don't think that's the reason at all. I think because the kids have a choice in your training. This proverb is talking about from the parent standpoint. When you train your kids' character, that is what their character is going to be. Now, they could still have rebellion in their heart, and they could put that down and not allow you to see it. And when they get old enough, they finally see. People talk about a 13-year-old that he just now becomes rebellious. No! 13-year-old was always rebellious. He just now got brave enough to show you. A 16-year-old, where did that come from? He's now talking back to his parents. Did something happen? No, something didn't happen. He's just showing his true stripes. This is who he always was. And so that has nothing to do with you. It has all to do with their rebellion to your teaching. I want you to understand that. With regarding to your kids, I think there's really two rules I would have with them. Biblically, this is my understanding. Now, obviously, Christian character, and there's a little flyer, I believe. There's an insert in your flyer, yes. It talks about a bunch of character issues from the Scripture. There's two. Loving others and having God as your authority. Those are the two that I would recommend. Those are the ones I would really push the most, because it has to do with dealing with their sin issues as well. So I would push those. Those would be the two that we tried to deal with. But understanding that, just because you tell your kid once not to do something, it might take a little bit longer than that. It might even take them longer to understand what you meant. It might even take them longer to apply that to your life. So we need to be patient. When we're training our child, realize they are truly ignorant. And we need to be patient in their training. Now, third point is that we need to realize when our children are being rebellious, when they're being rebellious. Now, that same situation, Johnny's a little older, he has brothers and sisters. Mom has dealt with Johnny with the Power Ranger or the car and told him to share. He understood the rules, he understands exactly the way he's supposed to behave. Susie took his Power Ranger, he rebelled against parents' authority, rebelled against God's authority, chose not to love her, and he screamed out, grabbed the Power Ranger from here, screamed out, no, no, and probably a handful of hair at the same time. Why is that? That's rebellion. And that is a different attitude. And with regard to rebellion, we need to help them stop worshiping self. Rebellion is worship of self. We need to, and I've said this before, when you're dealing with your child's rebellion, you need to win. You need to win. What does that mean? Their worship of self needs to be broken. That's what you're trying to do. Now, the difference between saying that I want to break their will, like I don't know that you want to say that, I want to break their will, that's really not biblical. That's really, that it gives a lot of connotations that I don't agree with. But to say that I want to break their worship, that is biblical. I think that has better connotations. I want to break their will, or I want to break their worship. And how do we do that? By realizing that love punishes wrong. Hebrews 12:6 says, "For the Lord disciplines the one that he loves and chastens every son whom he received." And we've already looked at this verse. And I'm saying, even as a toddler, even as a small child, and I know I'm going to be getting in trouble for saying that, and I know that there's people that have said this, that they've even gotten in trouble by the police for saying this kind of stuff. But even a child, a toddler, who you know is rebelling, who you know has chose to rebel against you, you know, you see that you, without any shadow of a doubt, that you know this child is being defiant, he's rebelling to you, I think spanking is good. Now, I wouldn't pull their diaper down, and I wouldn't do that stuff. You know, that's crazy. But to a little toddler, just a little on the wrist, it doesn't have to be much. Just and you can even make a popping noise with your mouth, and it scares them. They think, "Whoa!" Just really, but to leave a mark, that would be terrible. But to make sure that they know that that's wrong, to deal with their rebellion, even as a toddler, absolutely. And then obviously, when they get older, the discipline becomes a little bit different, becomes a little bit more corporal, a little bit more spanking. But just be careful. If you're going to spank your child, and the Bible says do that in a heart of love and compassion and understanding of your child. Never allow yourself to be angry. Always abide by the 5-minute rule. Never swat them without calming down and getting your mind right before the Lord. Make sure that you're doing this to build them up, to strengthen them, to help them mature. Let me just go over a few passages that talks about this. Proverbs 13. I'm going to skip a few, Lily, so follow with me. Proverbs 13:24. He who withholds his rod hates his son. Proverbs 22:15. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of the child. The rod of discipline will remove it. Far from it. Proverbs 23:13. Do not hold back discipline from your child. Although you will strike him with the rod, he will not die. Proverbs 23:14, you shall strike him with a rod and rescue him from Sheol. Think about that. Wow, and rescue him from Sheol. Proverbs 29:15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child who gets his own way brings shame. And that's the whole point. There's an aspect of look, it needs to be about us as parents. We need to make sure our heart is right. We're not disciplining them out of anger or just out of our own selfishness because you're irritating me. That needs to be first and foremost. Then you need to make sure that, look, this is something of training. I mean, you know, this is just ignorance. They didn't know. They didn't know how this applied, and I understand it's still sin, but they didn't know. Do not discipline innocence or ignorance like rebellion. It's not the same thing. They're going to get frustrated. But when it is rebellion, discipline that. Discipline that directly. When you do that, I would recommend two things. Not just cooling off before you spank them. And there's different ways of course, corporal punishment. But also, when you do that, make sure they understand what they have done is disobeyed God. And they've made God unhappy. They need to know that. They need to know that, and they need to know that they've disobeyed you. And there can be forgiveness. Forgiveness can be found through you, and forgiveness can be found through Christ. But they need to repent, and that needs to be part of the process. Not just disciplining them, but the forgiveness, the understanding of their sin, the forgiveness as we're leading them to Christ. The ultimate goal is not just to change the life of the kid, but it's to change the heart. The only way you're really going to change the heart is by bringing them to Christ. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, as we